There is a decisive statement made by Jesus in the gospel. Whoever is not with me is against me. Regarding Christ, you cannot be iffy. Regarding Christ, it is not enough just to come to church. That is just the first step. Regarding Christ, you need to take a stand and you need to make a choice. That is the subject this morning. There is a tension in the first reading. You may not understand it, except I give you some background. St. Paul is contending with Judaizers, people he would argue with in every city that he went to. He was a Pharisee, so now an ex-Pharisee, and he would enter into arguments, first of all, with Jews or Judaizers, people who thought that you had to be circumcised first, you had to do the works of the law first before you become Christian. The tension is happening because Paul is preaching to Greeks and people in Asia and Europe, and some Jews who were Christians were insisting that every pagan or Gentile be made to be circumcised first, obeying the Jewish law before being baptized, as though baptism was not sufficient. So this is the tension that Paul is addressing. What really saves us? Is it the works of the law of Moses, or is it faith in Christ? Obviously, many were confused, or many were insistent, as though they did not yet understand or fully recognize the centrality of Christ. Every prophet, every oracle of the Old Testament pointed to the Christ. Everything was a shadow of the one who was to come. And as soon as he arrived and initiated the kingdom, everything else should cease in his presence, is what Paul is trying to tell him. He is the one we were waiting for. Faith in him is eternal life. It is not as though Paul is against doing good. No, that is not the subject here. Some people read that text, works. No. Faith itself conditions you to good works. But Paul is talking about the precepts of the Mosaic law. Must every Gentile be forced to go through everything the Jews have gone through in order to become Christian? Even many Christians were confused. And that is the tension. For all who depend on works of the law are under a curse, he says. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not persevere in doing all things written in the book of the law. There are so many laws, my friend, 770 something. That is why Jesus said a new commandment, a new law I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. All of the law and the prophets can be summarized in one law. Love God with all your might, all your strength, everything that you have, and then love your neighbor as yourself. That is a summary of everything old and new. That is the direction and the way to go. There might still be that kind of tension today. Many people are confused about the subject of what really defines our faith. What is the heart of the Christian faith? Is it the works that we do? The fruits that we bear? Is it our inner disposition? Is it just keeping the law? What is the content of our faith? What do you think? It is very difficult for many people to practically make a judgment on the fact of who is a Christian today. Many people do not know. The one who talks beautifully and entertains you, the one who actually acts like a Christian. Even in the church, there is such a division today. Who is a Christian? We have many Catholics by name. They are Catholics. We have Catholics who go to church and take church seriously. They're still Catholics. So how do you distinguish between the two? My friends, the deciding factor is what Jesus said in the gospel. Whoever is not with me is against me. It is not your name. It is not what you say you are. It is your proximity to Christ that determines whether you're a Christian or not. And in today's world, you need to look out for that fact. Who is close to Christ? not just who appears to be a Christian, who in fact is close to Christ. Scripture says, by the fruits we shall know them. So you look for the right kind of fruit. Not just rhetoric, not just words, not just talk. Who is with the Lord? And make sure in thinking about that, you yourself realize that you need to be close to Him. In fact, in your heart, not just in your head. For Christ is the one to lead us through the crisis now with His Holy Mother. And knowing Him and holding on to Him is everything that will keep you safe and keep your heart strong. This is the time to really be Christian. To be Christian means that you're focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that your eyes are set on Him. You don't allow yourself to be swayed by currents and countercurrents around you. You don't take your eyes off of Christ. Now, that is the way to go. That is how to proceed. That is how to stay, you know, sane. The absurdity of the present time in which we live. So Jesus had cast out a demon. And some of the crowd said, by the power of Beelzebul was the prince of demons. What an absurd thing to say in the presence of a mighty miracle. It was not common for anyone just to drive away demons. So there is nothing Jesus would have done that the Pharisees and the scribes would not heckle Him for, even for doing a good deed, even if it was on the Sabbath. They had something to say against Him. Oh, He's not serious. He's using Satan to cast out Satan. And see how patient the Lord is. He does not just deride them, but He uses the occasion to teach them. His patience is unimaginable. Others to test Him asked Him for a sign from heaven. Who do you think you are? The question is authority to do what He did. Show us a sign. He had just shown them a sign. The casting out of a demon is a sign. What other sign did they expect? Sometimes in our prayer lives, we're asking God for a sign, and He gives us one right then. We don't see it. Then the Lord takes the opportunity to teach them. Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid to waste. If Satan is fighting himself, then his kingdom is in danger of being destroyed. Don't you see? If demons are used to cast out demons, isn't that absurd? If Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? If you say that I drive out demons by Beelzebul, what about your own people who cast demons out? How do they do it? Can you imagine some men berating God for doing good? And they had kept the law. They had fulfilled everything Moses prescribed. And yet when the one who was to fulfill everything stood before them, they heckled Him. So religion had become self-serving. The same thing can happen in our blessed church today. When it is about me, I have completely lost the point. It is a danger to priests. It is a danger to bishops. Someone came to me the other day and said he went to confession and a priest refused to absolve him. So he traveled all the way from the North Shore to come and see me. And the priest had asked him a question. Are you going to place yourself in the same situation? And he said, obviously, I'm going to be in that situation, but I trust the future into the hands of God. The priest said, I will not absolve you. And I told him that was nonsense. Nobody knows what is going to happen tomorrow. Why doesn't he leave that to God? At some point in priestly ministry, the priest must remember that Christ is the priest. We must always facilitate the relationship of Christ to His bride. The priest is simply a conduit. Yes, we're other Christs, but we're not to get in the way. Doesn't the Holy Book say that no one comes to me and I by any means cast away? Doesn't Jesus say, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I'll give you rest? And how many come to confession even today that anyone who makes the attempt to come, we cast them away? What kind of a church is that? As far as I'm aware of today, there's only one thing you do not absolve: sexual abuse of children. That is the only sin placed on the index. If someone begins to talk about that, you tell them to go report themselves. No discussion. But anything else can be forgiven. If a woman came to that priest and said she committed abortion, and he required that she should promise not to do it again before he absolved her, that would be absurd too. He is going too far. It is not his place. It is Christ himself that should worry about the future. You should let everyone approach the mercy of God. The priest must not get in the way, even while he preaches, even while he's celebrating the Mass. He should disappear. And let the bride listen to the heavenly bridegroom. Let Jesus himself minister. And then it works. The Pharisees were getting in the way. Because of that, they were fighting and opposing God himself. Many priests fall into that mistake today. Make sure you don't fall into that mistake. Because in doing that, you will be against him. Whoever is not with me is against me. My friends, take that subject seriously today. Do not be against the Master. There is no other way. And watch out today in society. Ask yourself, regarding any matter before you, any decision you have to make, any choice before you, is this for Christ or against him? Is this man for Christ or against him? Is that woman for Christ or against him? Make your friends those who are on the side of Christ. Make sure yourself that you are on his side too by word and deed. And you will glorify the Father by your life and by your choices. Let us pray.